Hi folks, this is your Tracking Board Czar Mike, here with a preview of the treasures you'll find at www.trackingboard.com for this August 2017. Now, before we begin, I'd like to pay tribute to two writer-directors who just passed away, but whose work provided us with an indelible reflection of America in the turbulent 1960s. I'm speaking, of course, of George A. Romero and Toby Hooper. Roger Ebert, January 1st, 1974. Horror and exploitation films almost always turn a profit if they're brought in at the right price, so they provide a good starting place for ambitious would-be filmmakers who can't get more conventional projects off the ground. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre belongs in a select company, with Night of the Living Dead and Last House on the Left, films that are really a lot better than the genre requires. Ebert touches on a very good point, that these films were made for crassly commercial reasons. But because of their low budgets and the talented filmmakers involved, they were able to get away with more, to provide us with a certain transgressive edge, not seen up until that point, and also social commentary. And on that note, we'll start with George A. Romero. Can you imagine the social hand grenade of having a black male lead in a horror movie in 1968? And it almost didn't even happen. Romero described the writing of Night of the Living Dead to the Telegraph some years ago. When John Russo and I collaborated on the final screenplay, the character was white, and we consciously, deliberately didn't change the script when Dwayne agreed to play the role. He was simply the best actor from among our friends. And then, when we finished the film, we were actually driving it to New York to see if anybody would want to distribute it, and that night on the car radio we heard that King had been assassinated. And all of a sudden the film took on the feel of a racial statement. That was not intended at all. The same things happened to that character when he's white. The posse shot him, because they thought he was a zombie. But yet, I say, outside of Romero's usage of the zombie as a metaphor for the cruelty and warlike nature of the human race, the racial implications of the film's end credit montage could not have possibly been lost on him. In still images, we see Ben, our black male hero's corpse, as it's held up on hooks to be destroyed. It's impossible, especially at that time, not to form a connection between what you're seeing and images of lynching and of white policemen in 1963 with attack dogs on the streets of Birmingham, terrorizing young black men. And it's a gut punch. We've come to care about this character, and now we see him treated like a piece of garbage. In addition, the entrails depicted throughout the movie are a stark reminder of the gore Americans would see on their television screens every night, beamed straight from Vietnam. When the film was released unrated in theaters in October of 1968, audiences flocked to this new and bizarre vision. And one such audience member was a young man by the name of Toby Hooper. In a 2004 Texas Monthly article by film critic John Bloom, a.k.a. Joe Bob Briggs, Toby Hooper recalls the inspiration for Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Hooper had been caught up in the Christmas rush in 1972 at a Montgomery ward. There were these big Christmas crowds. I was frustrated and I found myself near a display rack of chainsaws. I just kind of zoned in on it. I did a rack focus to the saws and I thought, I know a way I could get through this crowd really quickly. I went home, sat down, all the channels just tuned in, the zeitgeist blew through, and the whole damn story came to me in what seemed like about 30 seconds. The hitchhiker, the older brother at the gas station, the girl escaping twice, the dinner sequence, people out in the country, out of gas. In addition to Night of the Living Dead and that fateful trip to Montgomery Ward, other influences on Hooper and Kim Henkel's screenplay included Hansel and Gretel and a far more grisly source, Wisconsin serial killer Ed Gein. Most famous for using human skin as lampshades and designing a woman's suit made out of parts of corpses, Gein also served as the inspiration for Psycho and Silence of the Lambs. Like Romero, Hooper was also influenced by Vietnam, Watergate, and the cynicism in the national mood at the time. So, you end up with a sort of nuclear family of cannibals who become a twisted sideshow mirror of American society. All these elements, combined with a sweltering shoot in 100-plus Texas heat and a slaughterhouse production design which included actual rotting animal corpses, allowed Hooper to create the visceral masterpiece that is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It would even later inspire Ridley Scott to create his own masterwork of blood and intensity, Alien. While Hooper never hit the height of Texas Chainsaw Massacre again, and Romero may not have been able to top the triple threat of Night, Dawn, and my favorite, Day of the Dead, in later entries, both men changed the face of cinema forever, and they were damn good writers, too. They will be missed.
What the hell are they?
They're us, that's all.
Now on to the spec and pitch sales of August 2017. First up, we have a sci-fi pitch. Big Five from Jason Pagan and Andrew Deutschman. The story centers on a large-scale mission to the heart of Africa, where a secret project is underway involving endangered species and artificial intelligence. Based on an unpublished graphic novel by Robert Chu and Darius Shamir, Big Five is designed to be a real transmedia project encompassing books, film, animation, games, and toys. Also involved is Creative Collective Section 9. Chu, Shamir, and Section 9's Stefan Lacoche and Daniel Levisi are attached as producers. Also producing are Lorenzo de Bonaventura and Mark Veridian. The writers are repped by Underground and William Morris Endeavor. Chu and Shamir are repped by Prior Cashman and Section 9 by Greenberg Turok. I'm repped by the Keymaster and the Gatekeeper, because I am Zool. Next up, we have a Cinderella story from a first-time screenwriter. Josh L. Gordon, formerly an assistant at production house Pulse Films, has sold his untitled Josh L. Gordon Project spec script to Warner Brothers. Basically, before he left Pulse, he left a script on his boss Brian Levy's desk, and apparently Levy liked it enough to come on board as an executive producer. The project will be produced by Pulse, along with Voltage Pictures' former president of production, Zev Foreman. Pulse's Thomas Bensky will also executive produce. So what happened was, Gordon was previously a development assistant at Annapurna before he became the assistant to Levy, Pulse Films' literary manager, who began to meet with agents and producers after reading Gordon's script. Warner Brothers then bought the script in a competitive situation for an undisclosed amount. Already being compared to high-concept sci-fi films Children of Men and Interstellar, the story takes place in a near future, where mankind is threatened by advances in AI, as a young engineer finds himself caught up in a billionaire's bid to change the trajectory of the human race. Jesse Ehrman is overseeing for the studio. Zev Foreman most recently produced Nacho Vigalondo's Colossal, starring Anne Hathaway, while Pulse Films was involved with the acclaimed films American Honey and the Witch. Gordon is with ICM Partner, and the deal was made by Morris Yorn. Next up, we have an action spec script that focuses around police body cams. Shopped around town under the title Exposure, it's by Peter A. Dowling. The premise: a rookie African-American female cop in Detroit rounds the corner just as corrupt officers are murdering several drug dealers, an event captured by her body cam. They try to kill her, and she's hunted throughout the night by the narcs who are desperate to destroy the incriminating footage, and also a criminal gang who have been told she did the killing. Sean Sorensen, a producer of Joe Lynch's upcoming Mayhem, will produce the movie under his Royal Viking Entertainment banner, while Screen Gems executive Eric Paquette will oversee the project on behalf of the studio. Dowling's thriller spec High Rise is currently in development at Fox 2000, and he's developing several TV projects, including the Eddie Izzard pilot Union Jacket Sonar. He's repped by APA, while Sorensen is repped by Roar, which surprisingly doesn't represent Katy Perry. Until next time, this is your tracking board czar Mike warning you that if a fellow goes up to you and says, "Would you like to see my Equalizer 2? Dude's probably not talking about a Denzel movie. We didn't get to cover it, Toby Hooper's Life Force, but it's a favorite of mine, and here's the trailer. Life Force.
From the director of Poltergeist and the writer of Alien comes a terrifying new film.
I'm getting a very small radar cross-section.
150 miles long. EGR's confirmed.
Tell them we have an artificial object out here.
In the tail of Halley's Comet, there's something wrong. Something ancient. Something evil.
Jesus.
Houston, we have a problem.
Something's happening to me.
Something hungry. That's brought to Earth.
Destroyed worlds.
That girl was no girl. She was totally alien to this planet in her life form. And totally dangerous.
We just found a body in Hyde Park.
Life Force.
Stop
it, it's too late.
Come, be with me.
Life Force. The terror has just begun.